A sad smile flickered on his lips at the bright curiosity in her voice. "Something like that. They killed Carter McBride."
"We thought so," she admitted.
"So we're going to have to catch them and stop them from doing anything like it again."
"I understand."
He slotted the Mazer carbines into their saddle holsters. "It's for the best, honey. Really it is. Listen, Abadale's not going to be very nice for a couple of weeks, but afterwards it'll get better, I promise. Before you know it, we'll be the best village on the whole tributary. I've seen it happen before." She nodded.
"Be careful, Mr. Manani, please."
He kissed the top of her head. Her hair was sprinkled with tiny drops of water. "I will," he said. "And thank you for saddling up Sango. Now go and find your mum. She's a bit upset about what happened this morning."
"I haven't seen Father Elwes for hours. Will he be coming back?"
He stiffened his back, unable to look at the girl. "Only to pick up his things. He won't be staying in Abadale any longer. His work's done here." Pole rode Sango over to the waiting hunters, hoofs splattering in the mud. Most of them were wearing waterproof ponchos slick with rain. They looked more worried than angry now. The initial heat of Carter's death had abated, and the shock of killing the three Ivets was percolating through their minds. They were more scared for their families and their own skin than they were bothered about vengeance. But the end product was the same. Their fear of Quinn would compel them until the job was done. He saw Rye Mulvey standing among them, clutching a laser rifle beneath his poncho. It wasn't worth making an issue over. He leaned forward from the saddle to address them. "First thing you should know is that my communication block is out. I haven't been able to tell Schuster's sheriff what's been happening here, or the governor's office in Darringham. Now, those communication blocks are more or less solid chunks of circuitry, with all kinds of redundancy built in. I've never heard of one failing before. The LED lights up, so it's not simple power loss. It was working when I made my routine report 3 days ago. I'll leave it to you to work out the significance of it failing today."
"Christ, just what are we up against?" someone asked.
"We're up against waster kids," Pole said. "Vicious and frightened. That's all they are. This sect crap is just an excuse for Quinn to order them about."
"They've got guns."
"They have 8 laser rifles and no spare power magazines. Now I can see about 120 rifles just from here. They aren't going to be any problem. Shoot to kill and don't give any warning. That's all we have to do. We don't have courts. We don't have time for courts, not out here. I'm sure as hell know they're guilty, and I want to make damn sure that the rest of you kids can walk about this village without looking over their shoulders for the rest of their lives. That's what you came here for, isn't it? To get away from all this shit Earth keeps flinging at you. Well, a little bit got carried here with you, but today we finish it. After today, there won't be any more Carter McBrides." Determination returned to the gathering. Men nodded and exchanged bolstering glances with their neighbors. Rifles were gripped just that fraction harder at the mention of Carter's name. It was a collective build-up of nerve, absolving them of any guilt in advance. Pearl Manani watched it accumulate with satisfaction. They were his again, just like the day they came off the Swithland before that dickhead Mulvey started interfering. "Okay. The Ivets got split into 3 work parties this morning. There's 2 out helping the Savannah homesteads, and 1 lot with a hunting party to the east. We'll split into 2 groups. Arnold Travis, you know the eastern jungle pretty well. You take 50 men with you and try and find the hunting party. I'm going to ride out to the homesteads to try and warn them. I expect that's where Lawrence Dillon is headed, because that's where Quinn is. The rest of you follow after me as fast as you can, and for Christ's sake, don't get spread out. Once you get to the homesteads, we'll decide what to do next. Okay, let's go." Enlarging the Skibbo homestead stockade was hard work. The wood for the fence had to be pre-cut in the jungle, a kilometer away, then hauled all the way back. The ground was difficult to prepare for the posts, with a vast accumulation of dead matted grass to scrape away before the hard, sandy soil was uncovered. Lauren Skibbo's lunch had been cold chicro meat and some kind of flaccid, tasteless stewed vegetable, which most of the Ivets had left.
And on top of all that, Gerald Skibble was off on the savannah somewhere looking for a lost sheep, which left Frank Carver in charge, who was a bossy little shit.